This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we plow along in Proverbs 3 and 4, covering trust in the Lord. Do not despise discipline. The Lord is your confidence. Do not plan evil against your neighbor, and a father's instruction. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
A reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and mother. Father. Small Catechism, page 321. What is the first commandment?
You shall have no other gods.
What does this mean?
You should fear God and trust in God of all things.
What is the second commandment?
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
What does this mean? What is the third commandment?
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in His word, but hold it sacred and have it here in earth.
What does God say about all these commandments?
He says, I am the Lord your God,
am a jealous God. What does this mean?
God threatens to punish all the wickedness
may be seated. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as a tribe of Israel is on its path to the promised land, it is to adopt a very particular identity. The house of Israel must follow and observe the Lord's commandments, not only one day in the week, as we would interpret the third commandment, but every day. There's no breathing space for anything else but to remember the Lord's will as it is expressed in the commandments that he gave Moses at Sinai. And this devotion and observance of God's law must take place on three levels: in your hearts and in your minds. The words and commands of God are to be kept in one's heart with all your soul and with your entire strength. And then in daily life, they are to become part of daily life, taught diligently to the children and discussed in conversations while sitting at home, walking on the road, or rising from bed or retiring to bed. And on the third level, they should be remembered also visually. God's word are to be bound as a sign on the front of the door and on the hand and frontlets on the forehead. But why is God demanding all this from the tribe of Israel? It is because the Lord God wants to imprint his own identity on them. He is leading his house of Israel, and the emphasis is on his house, on its path to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. And in doing so, he wants to shape it by demanding it to follow his own personal will and not that of any other gods. For the Lord reveals himself here in the famous Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and he does not tolerate anyone next to him. Thou shalt not have other gods, and I am alone to be worshipped. Now, if the Lord were to be an abstract God, a distant, far removed from the life of his people, then, of course, this demand placed upon the house of Israel would really make no sense. No way, would they say, we are not going along with this God. But he has established a relationship with his people since the father Abraham. This God is a relational God. He worked hard on freeing Israel from the captivity in Egypt. His footprints are all over this tribe and his people, and in return, he expects them to keep his commandments, and if they do so, they will flourish and increase mightily. So the Lord claims his people as his. You are mine and nobody else's. So what seems here now as a legal passage full of demands, it is really deeply embedded and framed by the gospel. I was good to you and I love you. You are mine, and I will bring you to the promised land just as I have led you out of Egypt. And so the law of God here becomes a proper loving advice and good counsel for the people. Unfortunately, we know also that Israel did not always respond to the Lord's demands. They did abandon the Shema and erred by following other gods. These other gods might just be a figment, a creation of the mind, not true gods, but they still posed a dangerous threat, endangering the relationship between the Lord and his people. For he is a jealous God, willing to punish as far as 2 to 3 to 4 generations after them for their abandonment of him. This personal God who delivered Israel from the captivity in Egypt to the land he has promised Abraham and all the fathers can become disappointed, and he can become angry. Even if the other gods really are just, as I said, an imagination of people, not truly existence, they are nonetheless under the power of the devil to lure the people away from this one true God. Thus, no deviant worship is tolerated, not only the worship of other gods, but no graven images, no abuse of his name, falsely invoking it, or not worshiping him on the day of rest. As Lutherans, we would have to say we follow the historic tradition of merging the second commandment into the first. Thou shalt not have graven images becomes a commandment one, so that making the abuse of his name become the second commandment and worshiping him the third. And then commandment 10 is split into 9 and 10. And in doing so, Lutherans do acknowledge one important fact, that God himself has made an image. He had let his Son, the Son of God, become a human being, incarnating icon of him, a human being who became man, born of a woman, walked the walk, and also raised among the people. But let us go back here briefly to the Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is the one and only true God. We hear in the Catechism's first chief part about the one and only true God. And so the question is, should we at this stage invoke the Trinity? Should we, as we are told, imprint on our children and on our members the understanding that this one true God is the triune God? Or should we wait till the second chief part comes on the creed, and then later on insert the understanding that this true one God also has a Son and a Holy Spirit? I would say that depends on the audience. The people of Germany at Luther's time have lapsed and fallen away from Christianity. But when hearing the first commandment, the second and the third, I am sure they will still be able to associate this one true God with the Trinity. But not so an audience who hears it for the first time, which has never encountered Christianity at any point in their life. Thus, from a mission point of view, avoiding any mention of the Trinity already in the discussion of the first three commandments may actually lead to confusion among people who hear it for the first time. Is this one true God we are hearing about the God we have always worshipped, or is he someone different? Is he God of the highest, the Nkulunkulu of the Zulus, or the Modimo of the Botswana, or the Shangti of the Chinese, or the Hanunim, the highest God of the Korean deities? Thus comes the advice for Lutheran missionaries: do not wait for the second article to speak on the triune God. Included already at the point of the introduction of the Ten Commandments, this one true God who has led the people out of captivity in Egypt is the same God who has also led you out of baptism and out of the captivity of sin, because he has a Son called Jesus Christ who died for you so that you may live. This is the advice the famous Count Ludwig von Zinzendorf gave his missionaries who were working in the Caribbean. He said, do not withhold the name of Jesus, because if you do so and then introduce Jesus Christ at a later point, they might be susceptible to thinking that there are actually two gods instead of one. Rather, include Jesus up front. Tell them who this one true God is. For this one true God has done a lot for you and has sent his Son to earth to die and rise for you because he loves you. This is not a continuation of the one God you have worshipped in the past, but a totally different God, the one and only living God. He loves you and goes as far as to redeem you, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of his Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, and with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
In our prayers, we remember all our chaplains, especially Philip Callahan, Jonathan Lorenz, Ryan Mills, Bobby Namsk, Ryan Schneckett, Joshua Schiff, Joseph Seifert, Nathaniel Jensen, Tyler McMiller, Eric Malmstrom, and for all military personnel, especially Joshua Castle, Thaddeus Cody, Linnea Elmore, Kyle Flanick, Benjamin Flanick, Brian Heller, Alan Hosier, Cassie Hosier, Preston Curlgrand, and Jesse Owen. Let us pray. O Lord, keep your church in your perpetual mercy, and because without you we cannot but fall, preserve us from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord God of hosts, stretch forth your almighty arm to strengthen and protect those who serve in the armed forces of our country, especially all of our chaplains and military personnel. Support them in times of war and in times of peace. Keep them from all evil, giving them courage and loyalty. Grant that in all things they may serve with integrity and with honor, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, through your Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my duties in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
The
Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen.